Hi, everyone. Welcome to Domain Sherpin. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a down the rabbit hole titled Snag It, featuring Rob Schutz from Snagged.com. And today we talk about Rob's history, how he got into domains and started Snagged. We also talk about recent domain trends. Of course, that involves AI and .AI domains. And what are some of the interesting things Rob has seen as he's gotten more involved and entrenched in the domain space? All that and more is coming up on today's show. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at domainsherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at ds.tv. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button and all that good stuff everywhere that you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with Muse.ai, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. And huge shout out to DNWE, short for Domain Name Wholesale Exchange. It's a trading platform designed specifically for domain investors, streamlining the process of buying and selling domain names to make it quicker and easier. With a community of over 3,500 investors, DNWE enhances market liquidity, facilitating more efficient transactions with standard domain listings, reverse auctions, standard auctions, and soon-to-be-added portfolio auctions, including traffic portfolios. DNWE is part of EW3N, a family-run digital asset investment company based in London, England, that also operates DomainManage.com, which is a global sales platform, and Brandable.UK, which is a marketplace for UK and co.UK domain names. And huge shout out to Unstoppable Domains, the only ICANN accredited registrar that lets you trade DNS domains on chain and access crypto investors. With 3% commissions, at cost renewals, and hundreds of resellers soon to be integrated, they're a cutting edge marketplace you need to know about and use to get more sales and keep your costs down. Unstoppable can save you thousands in registration costs. They have $5.com Fridays and $5 off all transfers in, no promo code required. And last but certainly not least, shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world, just named Domain Broker of the Year by Escrow.com for the seventh year in a row. Find out more at MediaOptions.com, where you can sign up for our newsletter for the best domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and domain investing. And remember, NamesCon Global is coming up November 5th and 6th in Miami, so go to NamesCon.com for more information and to register. Use coupon code DS20 to get 20% off the ticket price, and we'll see everybody there. All right, with that, it's now time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. So let's jump down the rabbit hole. What's up, Sherpin Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. Jayon, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, and I'm the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is part of our Down the Rabbit Hole series, as we say in Domain Sherpa, all roads lead to domains, and in the reverse, our work with domains has us venturing all the time into different areas and topics, some domain-related, some not-so-domain-related, hence the jump down the rabbit hole. Today is actually super cool. We've got the one and only Rob Schutz from Snagged.com to talk about his company, his journey, all that good stuff in the domain space and otherwise. But I'm going to wait to get to that. I'm going to introduce him with all his AKAs. But first, let me go ahead and introduce to my right, we got my boy Andrew Rosner, a.k.a. Morpheus, a.k.a. the Dirk Diggler of digital assets, a.k.a. Bob Lee Swagger, the sniper, a.k.a. Drew got what I need, a.k.a. every Rosner has its thorn, a.k.a. never going to give Drew up. Get Rick Rolled, Greybeard, the domain pirate in the building. What's up, dude? How are you?
Exhausted after all that, but yeah, good. I'm good. Just returned from a little trip in England. Very pleasantly surprised. I went with low expectations, and I gotta say, I kind of forgot how much how beautiful London is and what a great city that is. And I'm gonna just straight up say, London is like everything is great about New York without the bullshit. So, I really enjoyed it, really did. And, I'm a New York lover. I love New York. I'll be in New York in the summer, but like, it's a lot of baggage. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of baggage with New York these days. And London was like great. It was just great. Although you eat way better. You really just don't eat that well in London, except Indian food. But great Indian food. But other than that,
you got
fish and chips and Indian food. That's all I'm going to give you. And then, good beer. Pub culture, amazing. 10 out of 10. Like, amazing, on point.
Sounds like
a great time.
Nice little time.
Yeah. Yep. All good. All right, cool, man. Well, welcome to the show. All right, let's go ahead and introduce the special guest down below me, kind of to my right, sort of, but down. We got the one and only Rob Schutz, a.k.a. Rob Report, a.k.a. Rob Roy, a.k.a. Snaggletooth, a.k.a. Snag and Get the Bag, a.k.a. Rob Shuts the Front Door, a.k.a. Rob's a Bad Mother, Shuts Your Mouth.
Oh, my God. JG, this is my favorite part of the show, the a.k.a.s. You crush it. You crushed it. Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for all those names. I'm going to write them all down and send them to my mom. But yeah, thank you guys for having me. Long time listener, first time participant here. So,
yeah. Oh, dude, super happy to have you on the show. For the folks who don't know, Rob's the co-founder of Row.co and also the co-founder and CEO of Snag.com, among a bunch of other things. Go check out Snag.com if you have not. He's kind of come onto the domain scene and really sort of established himself pretty quickly, very effectively, doing some big, big things. We've done some deals together. I've seen, you did an AMA with the ICA. You were at the ICA annual meeting. Are you going to be at NamesCon as well? Or are you going to be doing your thing at NamesCon?
You know, I'm trying to navigate. I bought tickets for myself and Brian, my business partner. And then my wife was like, by the way, because I put it on our shared calendar. She was like, by the way, the kids have off that week. I think we're going on a trip. And I was like, how about Miami? So we're going to see. We're going to see how that shakes out. My plan is to be there. But negotiations sometimes easier on the domain side than it is on the home side. So we'll see
sometimes
how it goes.
I mean, almost like every time, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're talking about that's the ultimate deal right there when you're working out the stuff on the home front. And the shared calendar is do you guys we picked up one of those Hearth calendars. I don't know if you've seen
it. I know that team. I mean, people love that. It's like one of the on the wall kind of digital calendar where you can
like a physical thing.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it ties to an app and everything, but there's a physical version that sits like kind of in our little butler pantry area that, you can go and see visually like, all right, what's everybody got today, broken down by family member, all that kind of stuff. And then it's also on all of our devices.
Do you maintain it or do you have the butler maintain it?
Exactly. It's my wife maintains it. So she would
I see. The butler doesn't into different areas.
It's just a little extra sort of side room in the bar,
I have to give you shit about it, of course. And I assume you get your food via dumb waiter as well.
Exactly. It's got it. Don't
we just do a shared Google Calendar and try to keep each other up to date on stuff and whatever. Anyways, we'll see about the conference. But yeah, it's been great to get to know everybody and a lot of fun characters in this space that it's been really interesting to get to meet everyone and learn more about how the sausage gets made on the domain side. Yeah. The domain sausage, if you will.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of domains. There's a lot of sausage in the domain industry, as you'll see.
A lot of sausage.
When you go to NamesCon.
When did you start kind of like, I'm probably jumping the gun a little bit, but like you kind of, I think, with your startup background, you were kind of helping other people, other entrepreneurs, startup founders, like help snag a domain, right? So
yeah.
When did that kind of start? When did that you start being thought of as like, a domain guy?
Yeah, I mean, it always kind of started with my own businesses and like stuff I was working on where I just had a weird obsession with like, I want to get the domain and the social handles for this thing. So like, my first kind of entrepreneurial venture was I had a Daily Deal website back in the day when those were a thing. We launched the same week as Living Social and like Groupon. It was like got really hot in the domain space, but it was just me.
We sold domains to all those guys. We sold. I'm pretty sure we got rmn.com for Retail Me Not, and we got we sold some big name to Groupon.
Yeah, they're still sitting on a bunch
I think
of
we sold
names.
Like online coupons and coupons online or something to coupons.com. It was all around that little period of time. At that time, I launched this like affiliate Daily Deal site. I just acquired dx.com. And I was like, all right, I got to do something with this. I don't want this name to sit there. And so I launched Deal Exchange on DX.com. And basically we just consolidated 71 different domain, like daily deal sites, all the offerings into one place, one email every day. You could select the different categories you're interested in. So you'd only get deals that were interested to you. And I don't know. I don't even know if it, I think it made a little money. And then we end up selling the domain to some giant. It was like the Hong Kong. What was it called? Deal Extreme. Anyway, it was like nobody in America had ever heard of them, but I'd never heard of them. But they were like bigger than Amazon at the time. And they were like the biggest.
And they had money.
Oh, yeah. So we sold them DX.com. Then they went bankrupt a couple years ago, and I bought the name back for just a little more than I paid the first time around. Now I got it back.
I mean, these names have a way of coming back home, you know?
That's it. Patience. So real quick.
You're familiar.
Yeah. So for you, was that kind of, I guess you're pretty entrenched in the startup space, right? You've got a pretty good network. Where did that come from, right? So, you know, you're a Penn State guy, post-school, you know, what
we are, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Shout out Penn State. My whole family's Penn State, by the way. My parents met there. My brother went there. My parents retired to Penn State.
Happy Valley for real, man. Let's go.
Happy Valley all the way. So I coming out of school, I wound up doing like healthcare technology consulting for like 5 years. I was just kind of in like the tech and business space. And then that just got really boring. Like we would help hospitals and the sales cycles were really long. And it was kind of like, it got painful. Great job out of school. But I think that pushed me more into like, how do I get into a world where things happen more quickly? And that's when I actually saw the daily deal stuff. I'm like, that's as quick as it can be, right? It's like every day, new deal, and people are
just
buying things
the
online.
Cycle. Yeah, we're going to do it. I like it.
And so, now you swung the other way back to domains where it's these very long sales cycles.
Yeah, you know, it's, I got into like really chasing the dopamine hit of every hour, every minute, like what's going on with traffic and purchases. And like, that's what really brought me into like deals. And then after that, I sold that company. And then I wound up, I was one of the first employees at a company called BarkBox, which is treats and toys for dogs.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember BarkBox.
They're public. They're doing, their stock's not doing as well, but their team's doing very well. And they've launched a whole bunch of shit, including an airline for you and your dog called Bark Air.
Is that real?
It's real and it's doing extremely well. They launched like New York to Florida. They have New York to London now, so you can go catch up on Indian food. But it's like flying. It's like flying private with your dog.
Yeah,
which you just can't really do. And it's like it's not super cheap, but it's less than flying private, and it's like a fully catered experience. It's like ridiculous. Just check out Park Air on Instagram. It's like wild.
Shout out Bark Air.
Yeah, Bark Air. I mean, that's a whole other story for another time. But yeah, so I was like very early employee, first marketing employee there, and really got hooked onto like, yo, we put out an ad and then people come to the site and then they buy things and they give you money right away. Like I got hooked on the like, getting money right away is so much more gratifying than 12-month sales cycle. Right.
Yeah.
And so I really got sucked into the whole like growth, user acquisition, performance marketing, like brand as part of that, comms as part of that. But that really scratched an itch for me. And so I would happen to be in like the right place, right time where like Facebook ads launched while I was there, like newsfeed ads. And I had a lot of money to spend. And so I was like cranking on performance, figuring out how all this stuff worked, building out a team. Which was awesome. And dogs. Dogs are cool too. We're dog fans.
Yeah, shout out dogs.
Yeah, we all got dogs. Shout out dogs. Big shout out.
I did have dog.app, but I just gifted it to Bark because they're going to actually do something with it. And I never was. So that was kind of how I got into more of like the startup-y world space. And then I was there for about 5 years and I met, Zee and Saman, who would become my co-founders at Roe, kind of tangentially through Bark. And actually wasn't 100% set on leaving. I had a pretty good gig at that point. I was coming up on like a paid 3-month sabbatical at Bark. And we were having our second kid. We moved to New Jersey. Shout out New Jersey. Bought a house. There was like a lot happening.
Baby.
Hey, we'll take it. We just like being in the conversation. and yeah, so wound up kind of debating that. And my wife was like, you should probably do it because you will be very regretful if you do not take this opportunity. And she is smart. And I wound up joining up with the guys, and we launched Row in 2017. And we launched as Roman, just focused on erectile dysfunction. I'm sure you guys got many of our ads, probably still do. Which was cool. Like, I came from more of the performance background and like marketing and getting people to come to the site and buy things, but we were very complimentary. My co-founder, Zach, comes from like the healthcare space. His dad is a really well-known sexual health doctor. He had built companies before, fundraised before. And then Saman had built a couple big businesses. One got bought by WeWork, called Managed by Q. And he was like a real design product tech guy. And so I was like, the opportunity felt good because it was very complimentary. I was like, mm-hmm. I don't really know how to do any of that other stuff, but you guys actually have no idea how to do marketing. So it felt like we were three complementary legs on the stool. And I love that we were starting with erectile dysfunction too, because it's like the most popular profitable drug of all time. And it works. And, you know, what was the stat? I'm like pulling from the archives here, but it was like the NFL, I think Viagra and Cialis spent like $250 million just on NFL ads per year. And I was like, I'm pretty sure if we bring this on the internet, it'll work. I felt good about it working. And so, yeah, we kicked that off 2017. We launched like actually the day before Hims launched.
Really?
All these things go, we were talking about cycles.
Did you know like, the synchronicities, but did you know that they were in the pipeline?
Yeah, totally. All cyclical. Like, we'd be fundraising, talking to the VCs, and they're like, didn't we talk to you guys? Or we talked to somebody who was doing this? There was three of us. It was Hims, Roman, and Keeps was a hair loss one. All kind of going at the same times. And the way investors like to play this is they want to have a bet in the space, right? And so they're like, hey, if I think online telehealth for hair loss, erectile dysfunction, whatever, if I think that's a thing, I'm going to either invest in these guys or these guys or these guys. So,
or all of the above.
Usually not all of the above, but usually they'll make a bet. So we launched the day, actually they launched the day after us, no big deal. And then we just like hit the ground running. Like, I had the playbook of how do you build big scalable marketing campaigns. We were on TV probably 2 or 3 months in, just like cranking. And it was really like, you know, there was a lot of stops and starts early on, but you can tell when there's traction on something or when there's not traction.
100%.
And so we're fortunate. We were able to fundraise, move really quickly there. And then, you know, eventually expanded into other products. We had a smoking cessation product called Zero. We had a menopause product called Rory. So they all kind of had row in them.
Yeah,
that was like thoughtful. And then over time, as we built out dermatology and weight management and all these other areas, it was time to move away from like Roman, which we'd spent like $250 million pounding into people's heads about erectile dysfunction, to move on to something a little bit broader. Wild ride. And throughout the course of all this, like one of my many things was like, I want to get the brand tight. I want to get the domains. I want to get the social handles. And that would always kind of be like a side project I did. And then other friends in the space or investors would be like, you're a nerd about this stuff. Like, somebody asked me about a domain the other, like, how do we even do this? Or like, how do we get a social handle? And so people would just kind of naturally come to me, because there's not a lot of people that are like experts in this. There's not a lot of people, as you guys know, that are like experts in this stuff in general, but especially in that space.
Yeah.
And so people just come to me and they're like, why am I like WhatsApping with some dude in the United Arab Emirates at, you know, 2 a.m. to try and get this domain name?
Yeah.
Be like, oh, it's this guy. I know this guy. Like, I've worked with him before. So that was always just kind of like a weird obsession. And then as we grew, I stepped back after about 6 years. All great experiences. Was really, really happy with how everything went. But part of the byproduct of the company growing, doing well, has also got big. And your role changes and like the needs of the company from you, and that role changes. And
yeah,
kind of felt like, while there's never a good time to do anything, it might not be a bad time to take a breath, see my family a little bit, try and pick up some hobbies, and figure out something potentially new. And so, yeah, that was like a little over two years ago now. And one of the things I just naturally gravitate back to is always like the domain name stuff. People continue to reach out and they're like, how do I do this shit? And I'm like, I actually kind of like this. Like, this is pretty fun. And you guys know, like, you get a real rush of exhilaration getting these deals done for people. And especially the really gnarly, complicated ones too, that are like, we've been trying to get this for 3 years. No one will fucking respond to me, whatever. Like, even if not for a lot of money, it feels pretty good. We're like, I got a tough thing done. I like being the guy to get tough things done.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's the, I guess, the long of it.
Yeah, but I think you could have probably summarized it with all roads lead to domains. You know what I mean? And because that's effectively what seems to have happened for you, which is awesome. And so I know you started initially on the, hey, I'm going to go try to help people acquire domains, right? And, domain acquisition for, friends and clients. And then you've expanded now to some of the, on the sell side as well, correct?
Yeah. So I brought in my partner, Brian, who I've known since elementary school. His dad was my sixth grade basketball coach. I didn't get a lot of playing time, but
I was going to say, were you guys good?
We remained friends. We were terrible. but I've known him for forever. He lives in Jersey too. And he's a really talented sales guy. He's an exec at ZocDoc. And so I've been like working on him. I was like, hey, it would be fun to hang out. And like, we get an office and put a little basketball hoop in it and, go get lunch. And so eventually I was able to pull him in. And then once he agreed to join, and he joined the beginning of this year, that's when I felt like we had more capacity on the sales side. Because this is like what I'm doing, I'd say, with the majority of my time. But I also have a couple startup boards that I sit on. I'm the board chair for a homeless shelter here in New Jersey. And so I wanted to make sure we could build out a little more capacity. And so Brian joining has really opened things up more on the sales side. And you guys know, people, you're in this space, people are reaching out about everything. And had really a couple really good names come across the board. And I was like, it would be sad to turn those down. And so, yeah, that's happened more organically. And we have first couple sales under our belt, which is exciting. And figuring out how that fun world works as well.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's very different. It's a very different
100%
thing. It's whereas with the domain acquisitions, you feel like you're problem solving, and you're basically MacGyver, because strange people owning these things, negotiations always go away you didn't expect. It really is fun. It really is. It's very enjoyable. It's something. The only reason I'm still doing this at all is I truly, truly, truly love being involved in those deals, solving those problems, making complicated, hard things work. It really is super rewarding. On the sales side, it's super rewarding when you get a sale, and it requires a lot of work to get there usually, sometimes lightning strikes. So it's super rewarding. But I'll tell you, it is less fun after doing this for a really long time. The outbound sales part is let's say less fun, for sure.
100%. And I think like we're still figuring out, we're only a couple months in, we're still figuring out like what our niches, like we don't want to just take names and then try and sell that. I mean, we do, but sell them for max amount of money, but like that sometimes feels a little dissonant from more of like the buy side and like the consultative piece.
Yeah,
and so
the really white glove, hands-on, you know.
And what's been interesting is because I've been taking on more of these like, hey, we're rebranding. We're a big company. We're rebranding. Help us figure out a name. And so that's where it's gotten a bit more interesting with some of these ones we have under contract on the sales side where we're like, hey, we can actually get you pretty good pricing on these names because we're repping them or we're bringing inventory to the table. Because I think at the end of the day, we want to be really founder friendly and business owner friendly. And not to say that on the sales side, you can't do that. You absolutely can. You can help educate people on the value and terms and all those things, but want to help kind of cover the gap a little bit on some of that dissonance. So we're figuring it out, but it's fun. And it's very different, as you said, but it's still fun. And we're anxious to see where it goes.
So, any like early days of like you decided you're going to hang your sign up, you know, snag.com, it's going to be a thing. You're going to actually have a business doing this. You start engaging in the world of, you know, I mean, obviously you'd already done it, you know, many times over, but you know, now you're sort of putting on the professional hat of, I'm going to go be a domain broker.
Yeah.
What were some of your first run-ins? What were any blooper roles for like your run-ins with the domain world?
Oh, I'm still having run-ins with the domain world. It's like, you know, this is such a fascinating space too, because it is so opaque, even if when you're in it, like you guys have been in a long time, probably know the vast majority of the players, et cetera. But like I'll run into people and then I'll find out later that like they're one of the big OG players. And I'd be like, oh, I would appreciate if someone made me a list with contact information. That'd be very helpful. And they're like, no, you'll figure it out as you go. Yeah, I've had a couple of those where I'm like, I'll send a below market offer on a couple names. And like, you know, as you do, and you see what you hear back, and people are like, kind of like, do you know who the fuck I am? And be like, I did not, but I will add you to my list that I'm making now. So, I mean, nothing major, but more just like, you know, as you're building out these relationships, sometimes you run into folks you weren't aware were bigger players in the space. But yeah, I mean, definitely weird shit has gone on many, many deals. I think we were talking about the ICA one, actually. I'm in the middle of two in-person deals. And that's just like exciting. I'm excited about it because it's like a great story, but also I don't want
to
die.
I try to avoid them at all costs. I've had quite a few. Probably less than 10, but more than 5, I would say.
Yeah.
In-person domain deals. As a rule, I avoid them. They're you know, these are always because the people that are like, yes, let me force function a in-person meeting to what? Hand over like a bag of cash, do a wire transfer in person. Like,
yeah.
What is it we're doing? Like you know what I'm saying? Like to me, we're increasing the risk of this transaction. We're not de-risking the transaction by meeting in person.
100%.
And so the personality of the person that wants that is generally not okay. Right. And so it's like, look, I'm non-judgmental. I'm down for whatever. I fucked around with some really crazy people. I'm not scared, but you know, I don't need to meet you and you know, I just don't.
The challenge comes right when it's like, that's the only way they'll do it. And you really got to get it done. Right. And you're like out of logical arguments about all the other ways we should do this. And you're like, all right, if I want to get it done, we're going to have to figure out a way to be creative. Right.
Yeah.
You don't hear from me in like a month, you'll know that things went down.
We had one relatively recently where Drew had to hit me up ahead of time and he was like, hey man, so here's the deal. Like, I'm going to meet this dude. Here's the email address. Like, here's all the information I have and here's where we're meeting. Like, if you don't hear from me in an hour, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe like just holler at someone. Like,
I literally brought a knife with me. I like had a large knife in my pocket.
Were you ready? Are you like a trained knifesman? Were you?
Oh, I would cut that motherfucker's head off before he even.
I don't know if I wouldn't call him a train.
Before the DNS settings propagated.
There you go. Right, he's got that camel bone knife. For the folks who've seen prior episodes, that where the camel bone has made an appearance, the you know, that shit's like some Prince of Persia kind of deal. You know what I mean? It would turn into a straight up Tom Cruise movie.
But I mean, that's pretty balling.
Hey, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But you're right. It's almost like they fall into two buckets, right? It's either they're so old school that they need
the I did a domain for Gold Deal where we had to.
Yeah, that's the other one.
We did. What else? I mean, we did a bunch of like domains for Bitcoin where the person wanted to meet in person because there's no way to properly escrow it. And then we did. We had something really fucking crazy.
But yeah, I feel like they fall into two buckets. One, it's because they're just old school, you know? Actually, I guess it's three. Two is there's a practical reason, but like you guys have said, it's pretty tough to come up with something that can't be solved, you know, digitally or virtually.
You're thinking too much. It's usually just people that are batshit crazy.
Or it's bucket three, which is like, you know, like they're just different. You know what I'm saying? Just different type.
They're just built different.
We like to use special.
A lot of it is, I do think a lot of those are like some of the old school OG. They bought it in 1993.
Yeah, right? That's what I meant. There are people that just want to meet somebody face to face. Hey, I'm doing a deal that's so important in my life. This matters. This might be the biggest transaction they ever do. It's a domain they registered. You know, more often than not, you know, they registered a domain for their own use, for their company 30 years ago. The value is now so high that it's like they never would have imagined that they'd get $1 million for it. And you know, it's this transformative life event and, you know, and they just want to see somebody face to face because that's just how they're, you know, how they're built, what they're used to. And, you know, even if it's, you know, because it's like the idea that, oh, I'm going to go do this deal over email or whatever is just, you know, but we get, you know, it's just sometimes people are just funny, man. They're just different. Like you said,
people are funny. People are funny.
When we got, I don't think anybody cares. I'm probably not supposed to say, but I don't think anybody cares.
Billy, be ready. Be ready with the edit button, Billy.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think of my shit. I don't think it matters. When we got Hyperloop.com for Elon, this is a long time ago. This is long before they even ever launched the business. The guy that owned it was one of the craziest sons of bitches I've ever encountered. And I'm telling you, that's saying a lot. And one of his demands was that he will only sell it to somebody if they're going to turn it into a space elevator. And I'm not joking.
It's great. I mean,
and he believed that Hyperloop, what he had seen it in a dream, and that the Hyperloop was a space elevator. Mm. And you get in and just right up into space. And somehow Hyperloop.com was his ticket. And so he said, look, I'll only sell it to somebody that's going to build a space elevator.
And he said, that's what we're doing.
And he gets,
hey, you get it.
And you know, he gets a ticket. And I was like, look, so anyways, look, we didn't lie. And if there was anybody that's building the closest thing to a space elevator, it's Elon. And so,
It's adjacent. It's at least adjacent.
Yeah. It's definitely elevator adjacent.
It's that's a tunnel. Cool. That's a sister company to a company that sends people into space. I feel like that's, you know, that's like a...
Yeah, there's a tight enclosed space that's involved.
Yeah, so...
Well, it's great, man. And he's probably still holding on that ticket. He's just waiting.
Still got the
he's
ticket,
waiting to redeem.
100%. Hey, and it might be good. That might be good money someday.
It'll be the like you said, I think to your point, it's the closest that will be to reality, right? So, you know, at the end of the day...
Aren't they building a space elevator?
Probably. I bet we already have one.
I have a perfect domain for it. maybe not. Or it was like a space hotel or something. I don't know.
Well, let's see.
It's good stuff happening.
So, all right, cool, man. So as you guys are continuing to navigate your stuff, so do you have a portfolio of domains yourself that you own? I mean, I'm sure you've got plenty from your entrepreneurial sort of, you know, like a bunch of your ventures.
I've got a couple through Row that we bought along the way. And then, of course, I have accumulated a personal collection as well. We actually had kit.com through Roe because we bought a company called Kit that did at-home blood testing. It was like sending a kit to your home.
Isn't,
it, like,
isn't that owned by, that's Kit is now owned by, I'm pretty sure. Isn't
ConvertKit.
What?
ConvertKit, yeah. The it's like a influencer platform, yeah. So I sold that to Nathan for their rebrand. And then we have a couple other ones. We actually have Rory.com, which is the old menopause site.
Nice.
But a couple there. And then, yeah, I mean, I dabble, you know, as we talked about before. It's hard to not get involved in some of these things. And
these are great assets. These are, they're fun. Yeah. It's great stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've got a couple. I mean, my favorite one that I probably have is chickenparm.com. I just like that. I think that's
That's always been one of my faves.
Yeah. I think these are good names for like agencies. It's like if I was going to start like a creative agency or a marketing agency, I think I'd call it Chicken Parm.
Yeah. One of my biggest names I've sold, I sold jellyfish.com to an agency. And I've always regretted that. I just love that name. Jellyfish.com is such a cool name.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Are they still using it?
Yeah. Yeah, they're huge. They're like a multi-billion-dollar agency now.
Oh, well, all they needed was the domain name.
That's it.
That's exactly right.
That's it. They went from zero to a hero.
That's actually an interesting point. I'd love to get your guys' thoughts
on that. That deal was actually made in person.
Oh. Yeah?
Right, to Dusseldorf.
So, Rob, you were asking, what was your question?
Let's see. It was very meaningful. Oh, so I think one thing that's been interesting coming from like startup founder world into this world is like, and some of it also comes back to the sales narrative, right? As you're trying to sell names and substantiate value. And of course, I believe that domains are incredibly valuable and helpful to businesses. But where I think is really interesting is like, I've gotten into a couple different scenarios where more owners or sellers are almost like berating me on behalf of my client, be like, how could you guys be so fucking stupid like to not buy this name? Like, what is wrong with you?
It's insecurity, right? So we have an industry that's so illiquid and these people have held these names for so long. You show up. I remember, I'm not going to call names out because it's an old person. But like somebody, I remember in the first, it was like 2009 or 10, I just launched this company. I'm out doing my best. I'm trying to fucking make deals. And I showed up with an offer. Yeah, sure. It might've been low in his eyes, but he berated me like absolutely tore me up. And I'm telling you, to this day, I have fucking torpedoed at least like 5 deals. There were literally in his name. I was like, you know what? You
can fight fuck real. Yourself fight
for
real.
Life. For life. You're fucking dead to me. So, but yeah, it's true. But it's an insecurity thing. These people hold these names for a long time. They believe deeply. They think all day long about the value of these particular names. And then, you know, life passes them by. And then someday somebody shows up and they think, well, you got to recognize the value of the name. And it's like, look, you have to understand that yesterday nobody gave a fuck and tomorrow nobody gives a fuck and you have an opportunity today to maybe make a deal with this buyer. There's an idea. But if you know, it's like, so
yeah,
it's just a disease. It's a domain of disease.
And look, there's some truth underneath it, right? Like there's all the reasons why people should own these assets, et cetera. But what's been interesting is like helping also educate people on like, that is very rarely the most important thing you can do. but you would not know that talking to some of these owners.
Yeah.
Where it's like, dude, you need like 500 things to go right in order to build something that's successful and that grows and is actually profitable, et cetera. But like, you wouldn't know that from some of these folks. They're like, if you don't have that name, your business is fucking toast. And be like, that also makes me realize you probably have never built anything before.
Yeah.
So not bring that up in a way to point fingers or be malicious in any way. I just think it's been really interesting.
We're constructive. I'm with you 100%. I beat people up all the time because over the years, I've come to actually understand the things that do matter in these negotiations. And it is basically never like the ridiculous justification that they have for the value of the domain. that is,
and some people care, right? Like, you know, you guys know, some people really care and they are bought in. They're like, I need this and it's important for the brand and it's an exact match. And like, why would I not have it? Other people do not, and they prioritize differently. Like, both are reasonable strategies. I think it's just always interesting hearing from people who I feel like maybe haven't built as much, or understand like what goes into scalable, profitable growth, et cetera, and like how domains play into that. It's all different parts of the spectrum, but that's just interesting. It also
depends on the type of business, right? In some businesses, they're 100% right. In some businesses, if you are a, you know, Roe is a perfect example. If you are a direct consumer company, your brand needs to match your domain, and your domain matters. And so,
I've been working on Roe.com for about 8 years, by the way.
Yeah.
If you see it pop up, you let me know.
Well, I mean, I could have gotten it for you for a great price 8 years ago, for 6 years ago.
Someone sent me a screenshot.
It was owned by a very good friend of mine, and but he since sold it, and now it's harder. So,
you know,
it's owned by a massive Asian gaming company. It's worth $50 billion, and they built a huge franchise around Roe. I talked to them. I emailed with them yesterday. They know I'm first in line, but. Yeah. You know, I think it's one of those too, where like, I've had some people kind of come at me for that too. They're like, what a fucking idiot. How do you not have this asset? I'm like, I want it, but it's not always something you can get, you know? And it's also like not the end all be all. We will be fine. But you know, it's one of those.
So interesting point though that I've observed, because for a long time I was doing a fair amount of angel investing. You know, I probably invested in around 40 something companies, and probably closer to 50. And one of the things that I've noticed is that the folks that, I think what you've just said is very important. So it's not always the case that you can get your name. It may just be unobtainable because of the price or because of its use. But the founders that do make a concerted effort, they actually allocate the time, the resources, the mind share to say, we're going to try to get this and make a concerted effort to do so at their seed round, A round, or B round latest. What we've observed is that it's roughly the Pareto principle. There's roughly an 80% chance that at a five years out, they survive. And the ones that don't, that say, I don't care, I'm not going to spend money, waste money, I'm not going to do it. They have a roughly, it was slightly less than 80%, I think it was around 74%, have a failure rate. At 5 years out, they don't exist. Regardless of the reason, they don't exist. And I made that observation quite a while ago, which is one of the things that triggered me to start making investments, because I thought, oh, that's an interesting signal. And it's a signal that is, I don't think anybody else has ever used. So I think it's, you know, interesting and could provide alpha. So anyways, what I've concluded is that what it indicates, what it's a proxy for, is long-term vision versus short-term vision. And so a lot of companies, I would say the majority of companies, are building a company to be sold to another company. That's the objective. From day one, they see a space which is consolidating, or they see a space that has growth where they know that the main players in that space, in order to continue their growth, are going to have to do it through consolidation and acquisitions, mergers, et cetera. And so they're building companies to sell to companies. Amazon is the you know, has been super acquisitive for 20 years. Probably some meaningful percentage of all startups out of Silicon Valley or Seattle were ultimately just sold to Amazon. And the founders knew that was the goal. It was like, build a company, 3 years out, 5 years out, sell to Amazon, repeat, you know, rinse, repeat. And those people didn't need to go get their domain, at least in their mind, because they were building for the exit. Whereas the founders that are looking to build a company and build a brand, those are the real unicorns. Those are those are the companies that go on to be, you know, household names. And the difference is founders understood that early in the game. That's what they were building for. And in order to build that, they did need their domain. And so, again, they don't always necessarily get it, but they made a concerted effort to try.
Yeah. And a lot of it, though, is timing, right? Like, I'll talk to...
Timing. This whole business is timing.
Totally. But I mean, even from the startup's perspective, like, I'll talk to lots of... We do a lot of work with Y Combinator companies, and they're just getting going, and they're figuring out branding. And, like, sometimes they want to go buy the $1 million name, and I'll have the conversation with them about, like, can you afford that, right? Like, does that make a meaningful impact on your business now? Because it's like, great, if you're trying to go build a big company, you're trying to go public or whatever, but like, you have to make it. You have to like get there, not run out of money. That's kind of the whole game. Don't run out of money. So like, if you think it's truly additive and, you know, it's worth spending on that versus hiring four engineers, you should do it. But also it could be something you earn the right into over time where you say like, let's go make sure the product works. Let's go make sure people actually want to pay us for our product or services, and we actually have fit and we have like margins. And then we go raise the A, and then we go get it. Might not be there, of course. There's timing, as we talked about. But we talked a lot about that at Roe in general, which is just like earning the right to get to the next level of the game. And sometimes you want to start early and make some of these investments early because you have confidence and cash and et cetera. And sometimes it's like, find something good enough. Like, we were on GetRoman.com, for example, for many years. And that was like, fine. It wasn't great, but it was fine. And then once you get to the next level of like, hey, we've raised more funding, or like, we have good enough profit margins or cash flow where we can go invest in stuff, you can go acquire some of these other assets. But timing and when to spend on this stuff, it can be just as important as availability.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high-value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
Yeah, timing is everything. I think that's obviously always pertinent. Couple of points, just going back a little bit. The domainers that are sitting on these domain assets, right? Some of this is also the endowment effect heuristic that we talk about a lot. You know, their domains that they've seen in their account forever. They've thought about them. They think about them all the time. You know, they think about who the buyers might be and, you know, and when they come knocking and all that kind of stuff. So of course it's like when that happens and the conversation gets started, oh, well, my baby's the prettiest, cutest baby, you know, like my baby's never ugly. And, you know, and how dare you think that. And it's just, you know, obviously, you know, overvaluing their assets, right? And all that kind of stuff.
You have to acknowledge how beautiful their baby is.
Exactly. Your baby is the best baby ever. And
he's a big boy. You have a big boy there.
Well, and it also shows you, too, what's so interesting about the domain space is that you do have this situation where you've got, you know, these gatekeepers, right? Folks that are sitting on a lot of really valuable domain assets, really valuable brands that, you know, and you know, you've got to sort of navigate some of the personal aspects, right? The relationship piece matters. The communication matters. It's not just simply, you know, sometimes just getting a conversation started. I mean, you realize like, you know, how much that, you know, is important to trying to get to a deal. I really think it's super interesting, your perspective being somebody who's been involved with, you know, building successful businesses and where the domain sort of falls in the process, right? And like what that's going back to this whole idea. And I think maybe we'll even call the show Timing is Everything. It might even end up being the title of the show because, you know, it really, but I think it's also, it displays the importance of being on it for the domain, like early, so that you're at least aware of what the situation is because two things.
Yeah.
One, it's like, you know, if the domain changes hands, right, the price changes and then it gets harder to acquire, you know, and then as your business is more successful, especially if you are a public, you know, B2C type company where, you know, the seller is going to be somewhat more aware of your financial situation as a potential buyer. And the more successful that you are is another thing that's going to drive the price up because this isn't going to happen in a vacuum, right? So it's like as all of a sudden you go and raise money, now it's like, oh, you got money. Okay, well, the price of a brick just went up, you know? And
yeah.
You know, so I think that's also where the timing piece matters. And, you know, and also why it's like you have to be aware again of, all right, where are we at with this name when we're ready to go get it? Hey,
yeah, is there an upgrade path? Or, yeah, 100%. 100%.
You know, there's an opportunity.
And yeah, you definitely want to, like, if you're starting from scratch, you definitely want to make sure there is an upgrade path. And usually upgrade path is also proxy for, like, there isn't a big company already on that, right? Like, it's silly to start a company with a name when there's already a really big, well-known brand who's also using that domain name. Like, if you get to choose from the jump, pick something else that, like, yeah, is a little bit cleaner, even from just like a branded and organic search perspective. Like, you have one hand tied behind your back if you're starting there. But yeah, it's always good to know, like, hey, we might start with a prefix or a, you know, a secondary TLD or whatever, but like, it's good to know, hey, that one's out there. It's gettable. It's, you know, I'll usually run down pricing on the upgrade as well, because it's good for people to know, like, hey, I'm going to go in for a B. Should I try and tack on a little bit more cash, take slightly more dilution and go out and get this asset versus just like, maybe it's gettable, maybe it's not. Maybe I assume it's 100K, but it's actually $2 million. Like, the information is very valuable to know at that point too.
Yep. So you mentioned alternate TLDs. So where are you at with .ai? Because real quick, actually, before you even answer that question, I'm going to go ahead and Drew was giving me a hard time because he wasn't on the show last week.
And then I listened to last week. I listened to the show last
week. So hold on. Prior to that, we were in Miami and Drew kind of gave a little bit of a sort of an adjustment to his .ai thesis. So then when we talked about it on the last show and I talked about what Drew had said on the show prior, he felt that I miscategorized what his take was.
You're still miscategorizing. I didn't adjust my thesis at all. My thesis remains exactly the same. The only thing that I adjusted was that I said that the opportunity, the reseller opportunity in .ai was larger than I expected. But that doesn't change anything I've said. I maintain exactly the same thesis. If you try to get into .ai as a domain investor today, what my thesis has never been about is, does it make sense for an end user to own a .ai? Like, they need to decide that, right? But as a domain investor, if you're trying to get into .ai today and you're paying tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands to buy a .ai domain in the hopes of selling it for a 5 or a 10x to some end user, like, you're smoking rocks, period, full stop. That's my thesis. My thesis didn't change. It's just that, like, all I was acknowledging is that the opportunity was bigger than I anticipated, but you still had to get involved in 2017 to 2021 for it to be a good investment. It doesn't mean there aren't some people that will get lucky or that will make a return, but it still will. I promise you, we can compare notes, and the returns that I'll make investing into wildly undervalued .coms in that same period of time will far exceed the profits generated in investing in AIs. Period. Full stop. Guarantee that's the case. So all I did was underestimate the size of the opportunity. That's it, purely from a domain investor perspective.
And that's all good. And it's
also all good. I agree with a lot of that. I mean, I think it would have been real hard to know that there was going to be this type of pop in this type of TLD. And it's cyclical, and you've seen this with a lot of other TLDs in the past, and it doesn't always have as much momentum. Yeah. I think the driver of a lot of this kind of run on AI names is really because so many AI companies are getting funded.
Funding. That's it.
Yeah. It's coming from venture capitalists. They're pumping money into, you know, the last couple batches of YC are all AI companies.
Yeah.
They can't go out and they can't get the oneword.coms.
Yeah.
Because they're too expensive. And so, like, a oneword.ai is a pretty good second place for this stuff. And that just
Better than the .com. Because their specific purpose isn't even fucking generating revenue. Their specific purpose is raise capital to build a product. And so actually just signaling, oh, we're balls deep AI by having a .ai domain, it makes perfect sense. I understand why the market is popping for.
What was that? Was that Ball Dip AI? Was that
yeah, Ball Dip AI. I highly recommend it straight to me.
Show notes, JT. Maybe so, that's the title. Maybe that's the title of the episode.
I'm about to try to grab ballsdeep.ai right now.
But
oh, that's 100% taken.
But the thing that you know, we have seen this with like, oh, metaverse is the new internet. And so now everybody is going to go put Meta or Metaverse in their company name in order to go raise capital. That was 4 years ago. You can go look. 4 years ago, that was exactly what was going on. And that's all that's going on here. Because VCs have a thesis. Their thesis right now is AI, 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 AI. And so if they're not, you know, convinced that you're really an AI company when your prospectus hits the desk, you know, that's it. They move on. So
yeah.
It's just being AI forward. That's all this is. And in 18 months, when these guys are realizing that 80% of their AI investments are going to zero, they'll move on and they'll, you know, so look, I don't wish poorly on anybody with .ai domain. The whole reason I've even been vocal about this was just literally because I don't want people investing tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars into portfolios of domains that they have a very low chance of selling unless they can sell them in the next 12, 18 months.
Yeah, I understand that. I actually think that maybe we're talking about a little on the last show as well, JT, but I think like the increase in activity around AI only, I do think it only helps the .coms over time. Like it's another company building on that brand. You now have another competitor who wants that name. And I think like it's like perfectly acceptable to have a good one word .ai name. And people start there and then hopefully you get three or four different companies that have done well in that name. Now you have competition. I mean, certainly there are counter examples, but have had several clients that have the AI that we go out and help them upgrade to the .com. We've had a handful that own the .com and they want to go out and for brand protection, go get the AI as well. Yeah. So I do think we're still in this like bit of a frothy mode right now, time period that could last a couple more years. I think it's dependent on the funding and how much keeps getting pumped in. But I do think long-term, I agree. I think it's valuable for like the ultimate asset to own for that word. I agree with you. I think it's going to be the .com.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. And, all right. So speaking about future and AI and now moving off of .AIs, but more about the impact of AI on domain names in general, do you have any thoughts? I mean, you're somebody who has segued from, you know, your prior business into, you know, and you're falling into this island of misfit toys with us of, you know, folks in the domain space. And so you're obviously all in, or at least to a certain degree. You know, what do you see about the, you know, the value of .coms, the need for, you know, the value of domain names, you know, in the internet ecosystem and all that good stuff? Just, you know, and obviously, look, we can't go 5+ years out. We don't know what anything's going to look like beyond that. But, you know, what do you think about this somewhat near term?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of discussion right now, especially in the startup space. It used to be that you build out a team or you put a real investment around organic search and SEO. Right. Yeah. And that's where a lot of the value from keyword domains came from early on, which is like, hey, you want to search for erectile dysfunction? You want to search for dog toys? If you have dogtoys.com, you're going to get some type in. And if you do a good job of building content, you'll get a shitload of organic traffic. I think in a world where more and more search to shit, and you see with Google, right, starting to give more like AI answers versus like their normal SERPs, I think there will be a little bit less of that. And I don't know if that's like 10% less of normal search volume or 90% less. I think it's going to be dependent on time and adoption. But I do think like one, and we've even seen this a little on the sales side, we've gotten going, keyword domains are a little bit harder. They're a little bit harder to sell. They're a little bit harder to substantiate because of the shift in search traffic and how people are getting to these sites. I don't think it's dead by any means, but I think we're in the midst of the shift where people are getting and going to get more and more answers direct from chat. And, you know, in the startup circles, there's a shift from like SEO, content, link building, et cetera. And now, how do you work to actually optimize your search results within chat, right? There's a couple of startups that have popped up that help you specifically show up within chat. And I've even gotten inbound from people like, I found you through ChatGPT. I was asking about like, you know, super cool, handsome domain brokers. But Andrew,
see, that's the thing. You got the handsome part.
No, but they didn't. But you can respond.
We get super cool. Usually comes to us, but it's that handsome nuance.
Yeah, it's keyword stuffed on the website just for that term.
Yeah. Well, it might have been the image recognition.
There you go. We're on another level.
There's ways to game that too. I think there's a bit of a shift going on there, and it remains to be seen what that looks like. But I do think that there's a bit of a shift there. And I think what that does is, I know you guys have talked about it before, but I do think, and maybe it's drinking a little bit of the Kool-Aid, but I don't think so. I think that like to break out from the noise, you have, you know, Tuscany.com. That's something people remember. And in a world where, you know, there's lots more information, search has changed, the ability to show up on paid search for different terms is changing. It can really help you stand out. It's going to be different for different types of businesses and how you quantify that. And if you're running on TV versus you're like a B2B SaaS company, but I think that the value there increases over time, being able to stand out and have not even just a really solid brand, but like something that people remember. So I definitely think that that is positive over long term, but who knows? By the time we finish recording this podcast, something crazy in the world might have happened and the whole thing's upside down and maybe that doesn't hold anymore.
It holds even further.
Or maybe it triple holds.
Triple holds.
Triple holds.
Can't triple stamp a double stamp, as I always say.
Double yeah, dog. Sorry. Double, no. Never.
Double dog. Triple dog dare you, man. Triple dog dare you. No, that's what's up, man. And I think that's really, really good insight. And again,
when were you born?
Are you
1983.
Ah, you're youngin. Okay.
I mean, the hair is not.
Well, you know, we got about equal amounts of salt and pepper, I would say, but I'm 80. I got 3 years on you.
We've only got probably about another 10 minutes. So, you know, let's kind of push it to you now to see if, you've got anything else you want to talk about as far as anything you want to bring up, promote, or anything? I mean, we always give our guests that opportunity. You don't have to necessarily pick something.
Can I ask one more question while you're thinking about that?
Please.
Sure.
As somebody who really kind of came, you know, from the outside in, what would be like your biggest criticism of the domain industry? And I mean, really the domain investor and the aftermarket industry.
Yeah.
And then like, is there a suggestion that you would have? Because I personally, you know, having been in it for quite a long time, not as long as many others, but for quite a long time, I have a whole host of criticisms and, you know, things that I just think are disappointing that we haven't evolved from.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think, I think there's one of my biggest, I don't know what you call it, criticisms. One of the things that I'd love to see innovation around, and I don't necessarily know what the suggestion, I hate throwing problems out there and not at least like being part of the solution, but I think something I would love to see more of is so many of these great names are just sitting there, you know, and there's valid reasons why, and there's an incentive structure that allows for it, et cetera. But then I talk to so many of these businesses that are getting up and going and they want to use those names. And it would be beneficial for them to use those names, but they're just not there in terms of like stage or money or any of these things. It frustrates me, especially having those conversations with the founders, how inaccessible some of that inventory is, because I think everyone wins. Maybe not everyone wins, but it does feel like a win if we can get more of these names into the hands of builders. And I don't yet know what the solution is, because I think, again, the incentive structure, and this all started in like the 90s and how people pick these up and in the investment, like it's all very rational and reasonable how things have come to be. But I just hate seeing all of these great names collecting digital dust. And I don't I don't quite know how to marry that. Like, we talked about equity, and I did like a little article on equity this morning that I published, and like, maybe there's something there, but it's also really complicated and it's annoying. Yeah. And like, people don't want to have their names locked up in a startup that doesn't work. And so I don't know what the solution is, but I think that is one thing that seems like, man, it would be really nice if we could put some of these assets to work. Cause I think in the end, it actually helps the industry more because these people are on TV and they're like, they're much more active, et cetera. So that's the one thing that came to mind when you asked that.
Yeah, it needs to be institutionalized. I mean, I this has really been one of my big focuses I've been thinking about for a really long time. And, you know, I think that it needs to be institutionalized because people are looking at these things very myopically, and it needs to be institutionalized so that it's really being turned into a spreadsheet, right? It's like, look, there's 25,000 super premium domain names that are sitting there collecting dust. They're effectively not really earning parking revenue anymore. Like, let's be honest. If you're earning parking revenue, it's not on your best names. It's on your fucking trademark typos, right? And so, you know, the truth is it really requires one of two things or both. Either, like, it has to be institutionalized in the form of, like, an internet real estate investment trust, which is sort of what I've been trying to sort of build towards. I don't know that I've got the gas to push it all the way there anymore.
What does that look like?
Well, so if you think about a real estate investment trust, right, it's a portfolio of real estate, and there's capital, and so you've got a balance sheet that's got capital, and you got assets, and basically, they then leverage the assets to get more capital to continue to acquire more and more real estate. They also might do lending, but they'll offer some services, perhaps cash flow services. Around the asset class, but primarily the objective is, you know, kind of like what Michael Saylor is doing with Bitcoin. It's like, do whatever your business can do to create more capital to acquire more of this real estate, right? Whatever class, whether you're a data center REIT or you're a residential apartment building REIT or you're a commercial REIT or you're, you know, whatever it might be, land REITs, there's, you know, cell phone tower REITs, there's everything you can imagine. And the same thing should exist for domains. And so there ultimately, I think what there will be someday is an internet real estate investment trust where this thing has accumulated a ton of domains. Its sole objective is to look at it from a cash flow perspective and to grow its balance sheet. And so it would make perfect sense to basically say, okay, here, we've got a mechanized process where you just take this. And it's, okay, it's $1 million domain name. And so we're going to basically, you know, annualize that at, I don't know.
We'll figure out the structure, literally, to make it work.
Put 3 months down, just like you would on a residential apartment, right? And so you step it, and it's, you know, whatever, call it 10 grand a month for easy public math. So you put 30 grand down, you start paying 10 grand a month. And that's it, right? And then you got a buyout option, and then that's it. And so now you got to grow it, and they don't care if it's 24 months, 50, 60 months. All they care about is that they keep turning these names and people are paying their monthly nut. And then eventually they buy them out, and then they use that capital and they buy more names. And if that's where this is going to be. But
the benefit also, of doing that there's structure an opportunity. Also. Sorry, no, I was going to say the benefit of doing that structure, which is really smart, is, you know, if I have a portfolio of 10 names that I'm contributing, I'm getting payments. I assume I'm getting payments from the trust, independent if my names are being leveraged or not, right? Like, you could do it where it's shared, where it's like, hey, you're putting 10 out of the 100 names for easy math, right? So you're getting 10% stake of the payments every month. It doesn't matter if it's my name or somebody else's name or whatever.
That's
you find a way to go about it
if you pay people in equity, right? So if basically they contribute to portfolio in exchange for equity, so they've got a smaller piece of a larger pie.
And right. Then, I guess that's right.
And so then they're generating cash flow on all of the names through distribution in the portfolio, whether their names are being, you know, leased out or not, right?
Yeah.
And so
there's different flavors.
It's what institutionalization is all about. It's about spreading risk, spreading reward. You're going to dilute the reward, but you're going to make it much more, much less volatile and, you know, and more smooth. right? And so I think that's probably where we land. But in the meantime, I also think there's an insanely good opportunity. We have so many compounding benefits for one of, like, whether it was a YC or an A16Z, but one of the, like, let's say five biggest VCs. And I pitched this to A16Z about, I don't even know, 8 or 10 years ago. And I said, guys, look, this was the perfect time too, because parking was basically dead.
Yeah.
The market had just gone through, you know, this, the whole financial crisis. And so people were ready to sell for cheap prices. And they just it wasn't part of the model. But, like, imagine you're one of those VCs and you go out and you spend, I don't know, $100 million and you buy up, let's say, a bunch of the
best, a lot of premium inventory, yeah,
that you can literally just start putting to work in your operating businesses on a lease with a convertible, you know, option. You got convertible debt. You got the best place on the cap table. If the guy goes out of business, you just pull, you claw the name back, rinse and repeat. You got a stable full of these assets and you're just basically kicking out, you know, startups.
You got a lot of Bitcoin. You should just go do it.
I used to get excited about a lot of things. I've got a lot of ideas. I don't care anymore. I have a great business. I buy domains, I sell domains, I broker domains. And it's a good business. It allows me to live the lifestyle that I live. There's literally exactly zero people in the world that I want to trade places with. And so I don't care. I don't want to go work really hard anymore. I don't want to go build some giant fucking thing and, you know, lose whatever I have left. I don't want to do that. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've got one of the world's greatest businesses and I love it. And, you know, that's it. But that being said, I think that these are very viable opportunities that somebody should take advantage of.
I think that's super smart. I think that's super smart. And some of it, honestly, to even get to that point is going to just take some turnover on ownership of some of these names. Like, I think you've got some folks who've had amazing names for a long period of time. They don't want to do anything new.
But that's the thing, is that that's why it needs to be institutionalized. Somebody just needs to come in and say, like, okay, you know, like Birkin's, right? Birkin's portfolio, Michael Birkin, shout out, Michael, love you. But, you know, his portfolio was probably worth, I don't know, a few $100 million, you know, and it would have taken 30 years to sell and it would have been, you know, but certainly a few $100 million. And he sold it for like 70, right? And it was probably worth 300 to 500. And he sold it for 70 and that was enough money that he's set. He doesn't be good. You know what I mean? He's 70 years old. He doesn't need to do anything. So offers like that, you know, like there are, and what I've talked about, like you don't need 90% of what was in Birkin's portfolio, but you can go out and buy the cream in bulk from the major portfolio owners. You can roll up a portfolio for a couple $100 million that's worth billions and has these enormous compounding benefits. One, now you suddenly have a huge strategic advantage over your competition because you've got a stable of assets to deploy into your portfolio companies.
Right. Two, right.
Your portfolio companies outperform because they're from the get-go on these killer.com domain names that are lowering their marketing costs, which means they're burning less of your capital. Right? There's all these compounding benefits to doing this.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's a really smart idea.
Yeah. Anyways, it doesn't matter what we think.
Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does.
You're right. Sometimes
I'll work on that tonight. And I'll send you the link once it's ready.
I love it. So, right. What else you got?
No, this is really good. It's cool to jam with you guys. And I know we've like worked together on a couple deals, but I feel like we haven't really gotten to sit down and have a conversation in depth before. Yeah. So I'm enjoying it.
And I wanted to give you a straight up shout out because, you know, we have done a few deals together now, and you've been a very easy person to do business with. You're very, very straightforward. And I appreciate that. You know, most people know I don't have particularly great views of most of the people that call themselves domain brokers in the domain industry. There are a few exceptions that I do enjoy, but you know who you are. And but most of them, you know, I think misrepresent, you know, and cause more harm than good. But I have enjoyed working with you. I think you're great at what you do. And I appreciate you, man. So I'm glad you're in the business. And
it doesn't work out,
you're a stand-up comedian.
I mean, not a very successful one, but I could get up there. I appreciate
you well.
That's true. I mean, the armpit. I appreciate it. And it's been great working with you guys as well. And yeah, I think like maybe to close on, I think like to that point, I think that's definitely something that I felt even prior to doing this was just like, there's some shadiness that goes on in this space. And I think that breeds lack of trust from 100%. The community. And so what I've tried to do is like, even when it is not at our financial benefit, like to our financial benefit, is like just be transparent and help build a little more trust in the space. Like have people, have people trust a little bit more that their best interests are mine. Sometimes I'll share, you know, email chains with clients and just be like, just so you know, like what I'm telling you, this is like here's the receipts on stuff as well, because that stuff scales. Like that stuff scales, and I think it's to the benefit of everyone if we can like keep building some credibility.
Yeah, if you knew what it was like 15 years ago, you know, people were like, I mean, every person you got on the phone with was like, you know, the person that owns the person that owns my domain name is a squatter. You know, I don't want to pay them a dime. I'll pay you whatever your fee is. I don't even care what your fee is, but I won't pay the son of a bitch that's got my domain name anything. Right. And, you know, today it's a lot different conversation.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think what we've seen too is, you know, I think the appreciation kind of to your point, Drew, about on founders, businesses and brands, the general thought about domain names and the value of domains is a lot more prevalent. You know, it's more people understand more about domains and the fact that they have value, how it works. You know, we mentioned it and I've referenced this a lot. Drew brought it up on the Tim Ferriss podcast, you know, about second time, third time founders, you know, having been through the process, having a much better idea of the domain name landscape and the value of domains. And, you know, and I think that, you know, also, there's a lot more information available, whether it's through ChatGPT or just the internet or whatever. Like people just understand the domain name landscape. Brands understand it. VCs, founders, PE firms understand it. That domains are valuable assets, right? And that it's not as shady on that front, right? Which then I think adds more transparency and legitimacy even on the selling side, right? Because the investment side is now more tightened up. And I think, Rob, to your point, the more that you instill trust in the marketplace, right, and across the board, you know, I think it's knowledge, understanding, trust, all those things elevate the entire space. And we're at a point where .com, valuable.com domains are worth more than they've ever been because that understanding is out there. And I think you have some maturity and evolution in the market, but it's still a very niche, small space. So it's like a person like you can come in and make a difference kind of quickly. You know, make a mark because, you know, sometimes common sense is not that common. You know, a little bit of brains, a little bit of common sense, a little bit of personality goes a long way. You know, and I think all that plays into
it. Are you implying that Rob's only got a little bit of each of those?
I mean,
you take that, by the way. I'm fine with that. That's high price. JC, so. maybe just to put a bow on it, like I think obviously things have come a long way and are in a much different spot than they were 10, 15 years ago. I still think there is plenty of education left to do in the buyer startup world around what these things cost. So like 20% of my conversations, when someone comes in, they want a super premium name and then I'll give them high level pricing and they're shocked. Right. And I'm like, hey, man, I don't set the prices. I'm trying to help you understand like market. I think there are ways we can, we try to do that a little bit with content and interviews and like things like that. But I do think there's an opportunity to help folks understand not just the value, but even just overall what these things go for, right? Like what are investors buying these things for versus what are they then intending to turn around and resell it for? There's a not insignificant portion of very smart, very talented, very well-connected founders that are still shocked at these numbers.
Yeah.
So I think that's an opportunity here too, is to like just educate as well.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great point. Yeah. I mean, we probably run into that, you know, I mean, we run into it every day. It's one of the things, like you'd say, almost the big hurdle is managing expectations on the sell side, the buy side. Cause there's often times where Drew and I have this conversation offline after talking to a potential customer or client or an active client, which is like, they think we're the ones they need to negotiate with, you know? And it's like, look, we're not going to set the price of what this name, we'll get you the best price, but we don't set the price. We're not the seller, you know? And it's like, 100%. You know, they're trying to like grind us down, like as if like, hey, look, we want to get you the best deal no matter what, because that's how we establish our reputation and relationships. And like, so, you know, but you know, we're going to be working on convincing the seller. You don't need to be working on convincing us. So
sometimes you get into those where it's like, you're doing so much pre-negotiation with the client to just even get them comfortable. It's like, this is exhausting.
Exhausting. Yeah. It really is. But hey, it's all good because that's what we're here for. And so happy to do it, even if we're going to talk about it anyway. But it is all good stuff. And all right, well, we are officially at time. So look, I just want to say, Drew, as always, thank you so much for being here. Rob, this was great. Hopefully first of many. As we talked about,
absolutely.
We got to get you
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, next one, we'll bring you on a normal domain Sherpa review where we can play stupid games and win stupid prizes.
I love stupid things. That sounds right up my alley.
I love it. All right, man. Well, listen, thank you so much. And to the audience, for those of you that are still with us, thank you guys so much for tuning in. The way I say on every show, without you, there is no us. And, you know, so we're here and we're not hard to find. Holler at Rob. You can find him on what's your Twitter? What's the Twitter handle?
Rob. It's just at Rob.
You have at Rob?
Dope. Yeah,
it's good for the brand.
Dude, that's badass. That is so cool. So holler at Rob. I mean, that's so easy.
Talk about on brand. He's got the row in his name.
Yo, that's awesome too. Your handle's so good. If anybody needs to get in touch with me, just holler at Rob because it's easier to remember at Rob, and he'll pass it along. But and then check out snag.com, all that good stuff, and a lot more to follow. But really, really appreciate your time. Appreciate everybody. And with that, we'll say goodbye. And you know, like we say on Domain Sherpa, all roads lead to domains. And here, jumping down the rabbit hole, may you travel far into fair skies and even further down dark, deep rabbit holes. We'll see everybody next time on Domain Sherpa. Peace out, y'all.
It's okay.